That we can gather together. I pray, Lord, that everything we say and do would be approved by you, Lord. Lord, I ask a blessing on this club, that you would use us for your glory. I do pray, Lord, for those that have requests that are not said, not spoken this morning, trouble in their lives, this, that, or the other, Lord, but I thank you that in every situation, you are supreme, and Lord, there's nothing impossible for you. So I ask your blessings on our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're going to take things a little bit different order today. We have a guest speaker this morning, and I don't want to occupy too much of his time, since he's probably got other things to do besides listen to us do our regular club business. So what I'm going to need is, if I can get somebody to make a motion to suspend the rules for a short period of time so that we can take our normal meeting out of
order. Second.
We have a motion by Charlotte, second by Greg English.
Yeah, loud second by English.
And all in favor?
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. So that being said, I'd like to introduce our guest speaker today is from the Salvation Army. His name is Stephen Carrera. And he is going to talk with us about the services that they provide and how we can possibly integrate into that. over the country, according to your bio. So. And he's got some really informative stuff for us. So, Stephen Greer.
Well, first off, thank you very much for allowing me to be here today. I want to let you know my name is Lieutenant Stephen Carrera. I'm the commanding officer for the Salvation Army here in Texarkana. We cover 3 counties in Arkansas and 2 counties in Texas. But that being said, I want you to know who we really are. Because oftentimes people will come up to me and say, you do good work. But they don't know much beyond that what we do. So the first thing I want you to know is that you probably see our slogan all the time next to our shield that says, doing the most good. Well, that slogan isn't braggadocious. What it is, it's a promise. It's a promise to our community. It's a promise to our donors and to our volunteers that we will always be doing the most good with all the resources that are entrusted to us. In fact, it comes from a quote from our founder's daughter, Evangeline Booth, and she said this. She said, there is no reward equal to that of doing the most good to the most people in the most need. And so that's what we strive to do. Now, we have a mission statement for the Salvation Army of United States of America. Now, we are active in 126 countries worldwide, but our mission statement in America is real simple. It says, the Salvation Army, an international movement for Christian church. Its message is based on the Bible. Its ministry is motivated by the love of God. And its mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs in His name without discrimination.
Amen.
So that what that means is, when I stand here before you, I stand here not only as a commanding officer, as a director of the operations of the Salvation Army, but also as its minister. All officers in the Salvation Army, we are ordained ministers of the Salvation Army's church. If you go down 4th Street, you'll see our chapel right next to our admin center and our Center of Hope shelter. And every Sunday, we have Sunday school. We have church services. On Wednesday, we have adult Bible study services. And on Tuesday, we have youth services that are character building programs. Everything we do, it has to be motivated by the love of God. If that's not the case, then we need to board up our doors and go home. And so we meet physical needs so that we have the opportunity to meet spiritual needs. Now, here in Texarkana, I want to share with you some specifics of what we do. Now, first and foremost, we have been in this community since 1896. Salvation Army has been serving right here in Texarkana. And most recently, just to give you an idea of the scope of our work, we have provided rental, utility, and housing placement assistance for over 2,225 adults and 1,589 children last year. That's a total of 722 families that we have assisted. On top of that, we have helped 2,710 individuals with food through our food pantry. People are hungry, they come to the Salvation Army. Every night at our Center of Hope shelter, we provide a meal. So we have fed over 39,000 people, 39,000 meals last year alone. We've helped out 911 people with showers and laundry services as well. And then, if you talk about our Christmas program, we help out families and children receive toys and clothes at Christmas time. And that's over another 1,000 individuals that we assist as well. That just gives you an idea of the work that we do. Now, another area that we're very involved in, and this is probably something that you would like to hear, is we're very involved in disaster services. Me, personally, I've been involved in several disasters. Back in 2012, I was the incident commander for the Fort Davis fires in West Texas. I was out there for about 2 weeks serving the emergency responders their meals. Before that, I had served other disasters in Big Spring, Texas. I mean, I can tell you at one point, I went on 11 forest fires in 14 days. Exhausting work. And on top of that, when the Alon oil refinery exploded in Big Spring, Texas, the Salvation Army responded as well. And I can tell you that in all those times, a crucial element to our safety and to everyone's safety was radio communication. I can remember very clearly, we worked very closely with the Howard County Volunteer Fire Department in Big Spring, and we were out on a back road. A train had come by, and just the sparks from the train had started a fire. It was that dry in West Texas that year. This is in 2008. And so we are on the road, and we're providing emergency food and water and pastoral care to the volunteer firefighters. And if it wasn't for our radio and for our communication, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. Because I learned a very valuable lesson at that time, that fire rolls uphill faster. And what I mean by that is, here we are, we're serving. We had our radio. We were designated SA1, SA2, and SA3. We had three radios. That's how they contacted us. And so we're serving. We're setting up. We're moving when they move. And we saw a fire. It looked like it was a mile out. But the next thing we got was a call that said, SA1, you need to move and move now. And about that time, we didn't even have time to pack up our supplies. It was the driver got behind it. I stood like this in the back of our mobile feeding unit, what we call a canteen, and we backed out. And as soon as we backed out, the fire licked over the road. It jumped right where we were. So I can tell you from first-hand experience that radio communication saves lives. Another opportunity was at the Alon oil refinery. When that refinery exploded, it looked like an atomic bomb had gone off. And while everyone else was going away, emergency responders along with the Salvation Army is going towards it. Now, the incident command post was 1 mile away from the oil refinery. That's as close as they will allow us to get. In fact, the fire was so hot that the Big Spring Fire Department wouldn't go in. Only the volunteers would go in. I share that with you because I know you all are volunteers. You do what you do out of the goodness and kindness of your heart. And that's important. So the Howard County Volunteer Fire Department went in. And about 6 to 10 hours into us serving, we get a call on the radio, and it's from the fire chief. And he says very clearly it's reaching the cracker. And the cracker of the oil refinery is where they mix all the chemicals. And they say if it explodes, if that fire hits it, there'll be a 25-mile crater. And so right now you have to decide whether you're going to stay or whether you're going to go. And I can tell you that the Salvation Army stayed. We stayed because that's what we do. We serve people, doing the most good to the most people in the most need. And right then, at that time, the people who needed the help were the emergency responders. And so we were just as committed as them. But praise God, the fire chief walked through the flames as they poured the water on him, and he was able to turn off the valve and save everyone in the Big Spring area. So I can tell you, radio communication is a vital element during emergency disasters. Now, I've been asked also to speak about the Saturn program, the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. This is where y'all come into play. So I'm going to share with you, and after I'm done, I'm going to leave some pamphlets for you where you can look up some more information, and in case y'all want to sign up to be part of the Saturn network. But let me share with you some of the history of Saturn. It started back in June of 1988. It was a brainchild of another officer. His name was Captain Patrick McPherson. He was an emergency disaster coordinator in Central Illinois, and he served in Eastern Iowa in what's called the Heartland Division. Now, the first network consisted of really only two people. It was Pat and another gentleman by the name of Arthur Evans, and they were two Salvation Army people out of Canada. Now, back in September of 1988, 2 months after its inception, Saturn's first international response occurs. Hurricane Gilbert happens. It batters the Caribbean coast for about 9 days. It killed 341 people. And Pat and Art were the radio operators stationed in Atlanta and Jamaica, and they were relaying information back and forth. Then in 1992, Art Evans opens the door for Saturn's evolution into a high-profile global response network by contacting international networks. At the time, this particular division had members that started to attend from all across America. In 1993, there was 1,000 miles of the Mississippi River that had flooded and required a multi-state radio network, and Saturn got involved in that as well. At that time, in 1993, the Saturn website was launched thanks to another volunteer, a member's grant. You need to update your services. Radio is important, but we need to tie radio into the internet and get the word out even more. So they started doing that in 1993. And then in 1998, during Hurricane Mitch, the Atlantic's second deadliest hurricane, the FCC designates Saturn's radio frequency for official emergency use. This happened at the time when Honduras and Nicaragua reported 11,000 people dead, 8,000 people missing. Saturn begins using the internet for missing person requests. And Saturn is named an official Salvation Army program and starts to receive funding. See, before that, we didn't have any access to resources or funding for this radio network. And so this gentleman, Major, now no longer a captain, now a major, Patrick McPherson, becomes the official coordinator for Saturn. In 2001, all of you know this, 9/11. Saturn was instrumental in helping coordinate emergency responses. It was linking blood banks all the way from California all the way to Ground Zero to make sure that people received the blood that they needed. The Saturn North America Command is set up at Central Territorial Headquarters for the Salvation Army. And this led to the National Association for Amateur Radio producing a video narrated by Walter Cronkite. How many of y'all know Walter Cronkite? Well, because of the National Association of Amateur Radio, they produced this video, and it highlights the work of the Salvation Army and the importance of amateur radio through the Saturn network. Then in 2005, you have Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, and they hit the Gulf Coast, and, you know, 1,800 people were dead. $81 billion were done in damages. Now, Saturn ran full force for 20 days, and it used all modes of communications operators, saving lives by relaying emergency coordination. Now, there were over 61,000 missing person requests during this time. And so, that, in other words, they were coming in at a rate of 20 per second. And it was the radio operators that were relaying that information. And because of amateur radio, over 25,000 of those individuals were found and rescued. Radio saves lives. You know this, but I want to always go back to that. That's how important radio is, because we were just talking, Clarence was just sharing with me, in some areas, the cities, radios don't work. In other areas, when the internet goes down, we act like we're lost. But because of you, because of amateur radiation, some people will say that it's outmoded, but the reality is, it is a tried and proven method of communication that still saves lives. And because of this, Saturn has acquired over 600 new members. And for the first time, this is back in 2005, an emergency call sign on a federal frequency is assigned to Saturn. Now, in 2007, the Department of Homeland Security assigns call signs to three Saturn members, Major Patrick McPherson, Dick Montgomery, and Joseph Fratto. Now, there's a membership of over 3,800 trained operators. Saturn still stands ready at a moment's notice to serve the Salvation Army and around the world. There are over 40 MET meetings that are held each week, along with training classes that are available. And if you want to get involved with the Saturn program, I hope you do. That would be great partnership between the Salvation Army and the Four States Amateur Radio Club. All you need to do is go to www.saturn.org, and we can start the ball rolling. Now, the question is always asked, that people usually ask me is, well, how can our organization get involved? Well, one way, I believe y'all rang bells for us this Christmas season, so let me say thank you for doing that. Now, when you ring bells, that's our greatest fundraiser of the year. That allows us to receive much-needed income that helps us not only at Christmas time, but in times of disaster and all year long. So thank you for that. That's one way that you can continue to volunteer. And I encourage you, when you do, if you have cats, if you have clothes that represent who you are, if you have banners, bring them with you. let people know that the Four States Amateur Radio Club is supporting the Salvation Army and supporting their own community. That's very important. Get the word out. Let people know who you are. Number two, come take a tour of our facility. See all that we do. Did you know that we are the only emergency and transitional family shelter in Texarkana? There's Randy Sanson does a great job of helping individuals, but we're the only one that can house children. And let me tell you, we have children there regularly. In the last 6 months, we've had two newborns born in our shelter. Their first home was the Salvation Army. So come to our facilities, come look at our food pantry, come see all that we do. Three, I would love for you all, as amateur radio, to get involved in our disaster services. We would love to have you come to our training. We can arrange training just for your group so that when a disaster comes, matter of when, we can have you all respond with us. And I think that's one of the greatest ways that we can partner together. Amateur radio and the Salvation Army responding to disasters, helping our community. That's all I have for you today, because I know you have a lot of other business to get to. But I just want to say thank you again for Clarence inviting me, Steve, for the introduction. And if you have any questions, if you want to learn more, here's the pamphlets. Clarence knows how to get a hold of me. I'll be glad to come talk to you or glad to arrange any kind of disaster training, any kind of tours. We love amateur radio. And I want to say personally, thank you for what you do. Because if it wasn't for people like you, as I mentioned before, I may not be here today. So God bless you, and you continue to do good work as well. Thank you. And I'll leave these with you. Anyone is interested? I made about 25.
Tell me your name one more time.
My name is Lieutenant Stephen Carrera.
Stephen Carrera.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, getting on with the business of the club. The first thing we have is our minutes from the last meeting.
Okay.
Secretary Ms. Cottons can bring that to us.
We opened the meeting at 9:30, and Brother Jim Hickey gave us our pledge of allegiance and our prayer. A motion was made to accept the treasurer's report with a current balance of $7,950.15 with one pending post office box rental fee of $150. David Glenn brought up the fact that the next executive meeting would be covering a lot to do with the ham fest, and there'd be a lot of details on this at a later time. A motion was made by Ruth Schilling and seconded by Clarence Schilling to approve the treasurer's report, and it stood approved. Steve Rogers brought to the floor that we needed a steering committee to be formed to address the upcoming ham fest. Arthur Christie addressed the meeting about the upcoming Skywarn classes, which will begin on March 14th at 9 a.m. and will follow at 10:45 a.m. Both meetings will take place at the Nash Fire Department. The Bylaws Committee presented the rough draft of the proposed bylaws, and it was discussed at length. Robert Bailey brought up the discussion of following the Robert Rules of Orders, and it was the general consensus of the club that we would utilize them as an order as a benchmark for conducting business. Robert Ward inquired as to when the new bylaws would be brought to vote, and it was hopefully that will take place at this meeting today. Clarence Schilling addressed the Run the Line event, which I hear was very successful. He added that there was ample support. technician classes will start March 3rd, which I think they're already underway, and they had a good turnout. And they that pretty well takes care of all of the business that was at hand, Steve.
You have a motion by David T, a second by Robert Bailey.
Okay.
All in favor of the minutes as written? Motion carries. All right, next up is our treasurer's report.
In the month of February, we received a $151 membership. Our balance that when we bought the fairgrounds and the tower, the balance was $7,200.15. The two deposits brought it back up to $7,351.15. And that's about the gist of it for the month of February. Any questions?
Has the campus already been taken out of that?
That's going to be a big deal, but we did pay for the fairground building and the power for a year.
Yeah, there are. We did vote to appropriate $2,500 for the Hemp Fest. The cost of the prizes and all that still has yet to be.
Could I ask a question? Do you know how you're going to take care of the purchase?
What purchase? The radio? Whenever we do that? Help you out in the month. We'll just take a check and we do it.
No, I
haven't heard
that idea.
Where have you come from?
Yeah. One of y'all use your debit card, and in front of me, you can get back, and I'll write you a check. That would be awesome. You know, that's just a suggestion. I'll do it any way y'all want to do it.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
How do you get paid for it?
Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. Any discussion about the treasurer's report? Get a motion to approve. The room makes a motion to accept. Second by Mr. Ward.
My dad here.
That was Mr., wasn't it? I understand. All in favor? Thank you. All right, next thing is our different committees and such as that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call our vice president to kind of bring us up to date on all of the events that we have coming up and then where different committees are involved. We will get a report from those individual committees.
First of all, I'm
going to
turn over to Arthur for the Skywarn.
March 14th, 9 o'clock, Nash Fire Department Training Center. You can park in Union Hall, which is in front of the fire department.
Yeah, the parking is limited there at Nash. That's we have a nice building back there, but it's really hard to park enough vehicles back there. On Saturday, there is less. All the city employees won't be there, so there will be some parking back there, but any overflow parking the Union Hall across the street from us allows us to use their parking, so you can certainly park over there.
I would probably be there by 8 o'clock at the store. We'll make coffee and just have a time of get together.
By the way, I have received probably at least 3 or 4 calls through the fire department this last week wanting to know about that event. So there ought to be several people there.
Good deal.
We got up for 60 people. So.
And we had quite a few raise your hand at the technician class meeting.
Yeah, we did.
Tuesday night, too, as well. And I think several here have expressed interest to come, too. So we should have a good crowd. It was also in the paper as well.
Well, apparently it's on the, it is on Shreveport Weather Service on their Skywarn page.
Yes.
It's listed there, too. That's where a couple of calls that I took at the fire station, that's what generated them. There is just quite a bit of interest. It should be several folks there.
Okay. Clarence, technician class is starting.
There were 18 students there Tuesday night. Richard Author, that's right over here, is one of them. Right there is Richard. Nick is one of them. What's the deal? Barbara Henderson back there. anybody else that was in that class? Well, anyway, we're tickled to death that we had 18. I thought we had used up our pool of people that were interested in getting an amateur radio license, but I was wrong. So, and we had 19 members present, so that was a little bit quiet.
We've got the Red Cross smoke alarm campus event on the 21st. The weekend after the and there was a piece in the paper yesterday about that. And I've got David T., Robert Bailey, Mike Thomas, and myself, and Steve Rogers signed up for that. Steve is, he doesn't know which way he's going to go. He's got to work for the fire department, and they're going to install him. So, but he'll be out there, so if there's anybody else...
I may be representing more than one agency.
So what would you do? What would we be doing?
We'd be doing what I call Overwatch. Without the gun. Okay.
Some fire hoses.
So out of here. Well, I don't know. When I say not without the gun, I'll leave that up to you.
Thank you.
Basically, we will be, they hope to have a couple of people on each block. And we'll be there to assist them if they need to get back with Red Cross or if they need equipment, we can relay a message. We'll probably have somebody out at the Red Cross building. Just do communication. If we get in trouble, we get called. That's basically what they want to get out of.
The Red Cross actually has some radios down there at their building that they haven't used in years. Batteries are probably all dead on the handhelds and stuff like that. What they're looking for, I think, is a way to coordinate their crews and to know where everybody is the whole time and make sure that they get all the streets, canvassed. So a lot of what we're going to be doing is just reporting back as far as our physical locations and which streets we've worked so that they can cross them off on the map.
But also, Steve, we'll be sitting there and watching three go into a house
and making sure three come back out.
Exactly. And that's what she stated.
Yeah, there will be the city of Texarkana is on board with all this too. The fire department will be out assisting with it. Also, I think it is the intention of the police chief to detail a couple of police officers specifically to that project that morning. So there will be a couple of officers available, but if somebody does have a problem, we need a way to get that word from where you are to the command center and then out to PD in case you need assistance somewhere. So that's where we're going to play a big part too, is by just kind of being some eyes and ears out there with the people that are actually walking door to door, so that if somebody needs police assistance or anything else, then we'll be able to help get that word to somebody.
I've talked with, I think her name is Grace.
Claire Francovilla.
Yeah,
Francovilla.
And she anticipates it starting around 9 o'clock at the Red Cross building. And she said there'll be a short, probably 30-minute briefing how they want to conduct it. Then we would go out into the field, and she anticipates lining it up 2 to 2:30.
Have your cameras take pictures and post them on the Facebook page.
Absolutely.
But don't take pictures of the participants.
You have
to be really careful with that, just our club members. Yeah.
I keep forgetting that I don't take pictures. I'm an old school picture.
That's the reason I carry my camera with me in my shirt
pocket. Okay. That's that one. Yeah, we got a lot going on. We got the Architect Challenge bike. It's not a race. It's a bike ride. Coming up in April 11th. And as it stands right now, I've got 11 people that's kind of committed to help with that. But we still need a few more folks. That's pretty much an all-day, or at least a middle of the afternoon. I drove the route yesterday. It took me 2 hours to drive the route.
You weren't having to pedal.
But the bike rope said some of these guys look at his split. I don't know if I won't go as fast down some of them roads I went down on the bike. Not beat my truck up, but anyway. We still need a few more commitments for help on that. So, I got a sign up sheet. Come up here afterwards and we'll get your name down. Okay, let's start the Scout-O-Rama. We got two events that same day, April the 11th. And the Scout-O-Rama is the second one. And we got the. I think we've got enough folks to handle the Scout-O-Rama. But that's Arthur Christie, Carl Nyland, Robert Ward, David Teague, and Matthew Ward via that demo and ham radio to the Scouts. It's going to be probably 600 to 1,000 folks. That's one rough road that's going to come out. They're going to honor it and give it a banner. But if anybody wants to help, and then, of course, Field Day is June 27th and 28th. That's coming up. We've got a little time in that. And Carl and I are going to get with the Parks Director and get a letter to him to make it official for us to use the Spring Lake Park sign.
Can I just say something? I am not going to be here that weekend to organize the food. So someone else will. I will do pre whatever I can do to help, but I'll be somewhere else that weekend.
Okay.
Just somebody else can step up. And Carl and I've talked a few ideas, making it a little more streamlined, not so much as bringing a barbecue pit and cooking, maybe order or something like that. It's just like we'll figure it out. So.
Okay. Hamfest, I'm going to hold that. We need to have a Hamfest kind of committee meeting after the meeting over in this corner to get a few things ironed out. It's coming along, but there's a few things we need to decide pretty quick. If we're going to do a mail out, we need to decide on what we want to participants. Everybody that's going to help us with the AMPS, we're going to see how we can learn that out before we really go for them. I think that's everything, Steve. Did I miss anything?
Anything that anybody else has got that we need to be involved in, or anything that we have forgotten?
You need to get that website off the ground, and you need to get your flyer out on the AMFest.
We are working on that. We're already kind of putting the mash on a new club member. about a website. so we will be working on that. Jason and I have talked a couple of times this week on the website and everything, and we're going to try to get Nick to help us with that, make it a little more flashy, and to make it where we can get. Use it as a tool to advertise the Ham Fest and advertise all the other functions that we're doing and stuff like that. I know whenever we started trying to get the word out for the technician class, there were several times that I talked to people about the technician class and everything, and they were like, well, I know I'm going to forget the date that it starts, so... Is there a website or something that I can go to remind them? Well, you know, people are, the general public is a lot more computer savvy and a lot more technology driven than I am, and they rely on websites and Facebook and all the social medias and stuff like that in order to do business and to interact with everybody else. So we need to be part of that. We need to try to be proactive.
I think all of these events that we are helping with, if we could get somebody to create our own little flyer, as when we're sitting there, Scout-O-Rama, whatever,
yeah.
You pass this flyer out for a safe amateur radio club. I don't have this capability.
I don't care about
that.
Good idea.
Yeah. So I think somebody who has what's it called? Publisher.
Yeah.
Somebody has
publisher. Well, there you go. See what y'all
create.
Nick, you're gonna learn.
Perfect tool.
Steve, the website and the technician class. Just noticed this morning on our website the links. To the question pool, it links to an outdated question pool.
All right, yeah, we'll get that fixed. Because that is a very big deal for these technicians, because the question pool, it actually changed a lot more than I thought it would. I've been kind of going through and looking at it and stuff, and they get away with a lot of questions that, you know, we're a little bit difficult as far as the way they were worded and all that kind of stuff. But there were several of them that they reworded that I didn't believe needed to be messed with. And they're even more confusing now. So, these students need to be looking at the right stuff. Absolutely.
I think I have one more thing to say.
Yes, ma'am.
On HamFest, everybody doesn't stay for the HamFest committee meeting, but whether you're on the HamFest committee or choose to, you know, be involved in the planning and organizing, we still need your help in doing things. And I'm looking for people, of course, to help with the kitchen and the food preparation and all of those kinds of things. Right now I have like 4 people. And we need a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Probably at least 16. If you're willing to help out with that for an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, because we'll get there early and.
Yeah, we've got a committee in place that's working on all the planning and everything, mm-hmm. But that only gets us to HamFest Day.
Yeah.
when we actually start trying to pull off this ham fest, it's going to take a lot of volunteers from our network. And, you know, if you think you want to be one of those people, this ham fest committee meeting is the place to be for that. Just to let us know that you are interested and you are willing to help. You don't have to be part of the planning if you don't want to be, but just let us know that you're willing to be a participant. Probably one of the biggest things that we do during the actual hemp fest itself is the food. And it does take a lot of manpower because you don't want, I mean, it can be done with four people, but nobody wants to be one of those four people who has to be there from the very first to the very last in order to be able to put together several crews so that you only have to be involved in it for a couple hours or something like that. We're going to need multiple crews. We're going to need lots of folks that can swap out in order to make all that happen and not overtax anybody. So anybody who has any field of expertise or just wants to be a gopher or whatever, please get with somebody on that committee and at least make it known that you're willing to help. Anything else? Okay. Yeah, it is. Yes, sir.
I brought up at the last meeting, I think it was, about a donation to the Arkansas Children's Hospital in Little Rock. I don't know if that was ever passed, adopted, or for how much, or for when. Have we know anything on that yet?
I got a question. Are they a 501c3 nonprofit organization?
I don't have any idea. They help kids.
If
all
they
I know.
Are not, we cannot give them money. So we pass the new one.
Just a minute. Monroe, do you know if the Arkansas Children's Hospital, is it a 501c3 organization?
Don't know. I mean, I'm not saying no. I'm just saying.
Don't understand.
Let me find out.
Okay.
And not give them money.
For somebody
we cannot donate to anyone. To
we cannot donate to anyone that's not another 501c3. Nor do we ever give money to an individual.
So where are we on that? Did we, Richard, do you have any ideas?
We didn't discuss it.
Table that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd like to get it off the table.
Then, in that case, we can deal with that today as old business. I'm assuming that you can...
Well, yes, I do.
I'll second that motion.
So we have a motion by Bert Phillips to make a donation to Arkansas Children's Hospital. And it's seconded by Greg English.
There's a motion.
We're getting to that. That being the case, what dollar figure are we looking for?
It's up to the people here, not to me as a nominee of a thing.
Does anybody have any suggestions?
$100, $150, $500, that doesn't matter to me.
I think $100
is
really good.
David.
I think $100.
I'm
going to
make a motion to amend the motion for...
Okay, we want to set that at $100 for the donation.
If we say we're going to donate $100 and then just outside the motion say one Saturday that we meet, that we take up a collection in here through our pockets and add it to that $100.
We could do that.
Sure.
But that didn't have to be in the motion. We just say, okay, we're going to donate this much by the club and then we're going to collect at this Saturday in the club meeting,
okay,
whatever anybody wants else to donate.
Is there any particular person in the club or anyone who has benefited from this that we want to do this in honor of?
I have benefited from it with one of my sons.
I think
open heart
people
session.
Have at some point or, you know, in their life been associated with Arkansas Children's. But
my wife was
from
back in 1982. Our son came down with a sickness, and
Set it for 2 weeks. He left Texas and he put it on the ambulance. He had up there as a supply gate been flying. But went in on Saturday, stayed 2 weeks, and he came out on Saturday. And then put him in a coma to keep his brain still. They had put the bill hole to his ear. And that Mark been talking. Because we like lost him.
Well, we all know that Arkansas Children's does some amazing work. Whenever I first went to work in the fire department, I spent the first 11 years of my career on an emergency ambulance. And in that time, I transported a lot of patients back and forth to Children's Hospital. Met air ambulance crews at the airports to pick up preemies and stuff out of this very hospital. One of the most amazing cases that I was a part of during that time is I came up here about 2:00 in the morning one morning on the ambulance with a crew that I had picked up out at the airport, two doctors and two nurses that had flown fixed wing into the airport to pick up a premature baby out of the smallest baby that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, literally a child that 8 to 10 inches long. That crew went up there to the NICU, prepared that that baby, and we took them back to the airport to blow them out. About 2 months later, I was lucky enough to be on duty again for the return trip. Again, went out to the hospital, or went out to the airport to pick up this child as it was returning, because it was now strong enough for the unit upstairs to be able to continue its care. And this baby was now about the size of a regular newborn. And was, at this point, totally viable, and I'm sure, well, it's been a lot of years. That kid's probably in junior high by now or whatever, but just the fact that they're able to do what they do is incredible. And they need all the support they can get. So,
yes, sir. Robert, let me understand what you said a while ago. That you wanted to people here to donate to make up the $100.
No. Whatever figure we come up with in the amendment, that will be what the club gives out of your checkbook over there that the club has. But like I say, in September, we have a Arkansas Children's Hospital drive for the club for that Saturday, and we have a piggy bank jar or whatever. You walk by, you stick some money in it, whatever we collect that day also goes with that $100 to where or whenever we're going to send it to them. You know.
Has that already been made into a motion?
No, I didn't make that an motion.
We have a motion on the floor right now for a donation.
Okay.
That's just a suggestion.
With that, I'll
you'll go along with that?
I'll up the ante.
Yes.
Please, let me finish up. I didn't mean to do that. But anyway, Children's Hospital is one of the best places you can go for a kid. A donation is wonderful. But I'm telling you, that's the best place for a kid to go to have any kind of trouble. I think it's 21 years old. So, a donation would be good for the
I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, sir.
The $100 that I mentioned a while ago, some people might think that's too low, but we pay our dues for the operation of this club. That's a good charity, but that's not what people don't put that $30 in there for.
Right.
Okay, so a minimum amount, like $100, I think would be appropriate to use the general fund for.
Right.
But like Robert said, on some type of collection, we may raise $10,000.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come out of the money that people give for their membership business.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. English?
I'd like to say, back in 1985, my nephew had a hole in his heart, and they medevaced him out of this hospital right here as well. And I went to school up in Harding, and we got to take several tours through Arkansas Children's Hospital. And if you ever get to take a tour through it, take it by all means. It is some miracles. They had a child that was born without a heart, and they were waiting on it. And they had all these pumps and machines that they had ingenuity themselves. And they finally, unfortunately, they lost that child. But what they had done in those 2 months to keep that child going, waiting on a heart, it was amazing. And that, like I said, that was back in 89, whenever I saw that. It was just magnificent. So, you know, if you get a chance to do it, you really need to go through and see some of the things and see what these donations and these grants and stuff go for.
All right, so we have a motion and a second to give a donation.
We have to vote the on the amendment to the motion.
The amendment to that motion is for $100 to be the amount. So,
effective today.
Yeah, we would like to go ahead and get that check written pretty much immediately, if approved. So, all in favor of giving a $100 check to the Arkansas Children's Hospital? Okay, any opposed?
That's a yearly type thing, yeah.
We'll
Yeah.
All right, so motion carries. We're going to need a check for $100 to Children's Hospital. Beyond that, just for discussion, do you have a particular time frame that you want to do?
No, let me research, find out when their big charity party is, when they start doing their donation.
Make it coincide with their annual charity.
And if we already missed it, then we'll come up with our own.
Okay.
Maybe I'll be able to get some promotional materials from them.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll do that.
All right.
This is my hospice contact.
So that means any other old business that we have not addressed? Okay. So now the biggest old business is the bylaws. We have our bylaws committee has been putting this together for months. They have really put in some hours on this thing. They have come up with a good working set of bylaws. We have, however, had a small snafu. The email that everybody received with the bylaws draft and the copies that we had printed that we handed out last meeting were not the very last draft. There were about how many, like maybe half a dozen small clerical changes that were made after that was printed. So the question, as a matter of discussion, what I want to know is, do we want to have that vote on those bylaws today, or do we want to postpone it for another meeting? Now, we can have our vice president go over those changes with us, and as long as we're okay with them and they don't need further, further discussion, we can go ahead and adopt the bylaws today. Otherwise, we can put it off for another month.
Did the clerical changes change the definitions, any in the statements?
No.
So the means are
I'll give you an example. Once you go over the changes, do you have them all in red or something? Well, I've got a few of them.
Okay. Wiz, let us know what we're talking about first.
One of them was in the article for the officers in election, and it's club officers shall serve without compensation. That wasn't in there. We wouldn't put that in there.
So they weren't getting paid, and they're still not getting paid.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. It's an amateur radio. It's got to be that way.
The other one was the sliding scale on the director's 3 years, and if one director term shall be staggered in such a manner that one director will replace each election cycle. That's two of them that I know of. Those are the only two I recognize right off hand. But stuff like that, it's up to y'all. We can redistribute.
Does anybody feel that they would like the opportunity to study on those for another month? How many people would like to go ahead and call for a vote today?
Yeah. I make a motion we go ahead and call for a vote today.
Well, there's already a motion on the floor for to vote for.
Yeah, there already is a motion from last meeting. There was a motion that was passed to have the vote today.
Well, we wanted to give you all a chance to.
So this being this new information coming forward, if we do not want to vote today, then we'll need a vote to set that aside and table it for our next meeting.
See, just to clarify,
otherwise we're ready to vote.
Once we vote on these bylaws, if somebody comes up with a clerical error or some type of miswording that people don't like, that part of the bylaw can be amended at any time.
Right.
Okay.
The bylaws are not set in stone, ever. The bylaws are an ever-changing document that can be, it's a living document that can be changed and amended at any time. What we're doing with the new bylaws is basically starting all from scratch and establishing this set of rules. So we're doing it all as one unit. But any time beyond that, if there's a particular thing we want to change, we can change that one particular thing without changing the whole document. We can amend individual pieces of it at any time.
So, vote again.
Okay.
We change it any time.
That being said, then, are we prepared to have a vote?
Well, I just want to say something. I would suggest that we don't make this effective immediately. My suggestion would be that be April 1st as a set date and time that they would take effect. If not, it causes us some procedural problems within this meeting. Just think about that just for a half a second. It could cause us some problems. If we just defer that into the date and time of April 1st.
I'm not sure I follow.
That's okay. Of April 1st, 2015, that also gives us a set study date that would happen.
If you vote on it today and you accept it, if that is accepted, you're then following
that
the
new bylaw.
So what we're suggesting is just move the start date out so that we can continue with business under the old today, and the new bylaws take effect on April 1st.
I will give you an example of something I know about. I am currently on the bank signature card. The new bylaws prevent me from doing that. So if they are approved and take effect immediately, we are in violation immediately of those bylaws. That's an example. So that's just one example.
Do you understand?
It does give you a transition.
You're working under the old bylaws right now. Okay? Now, if we go set this off till April the 1st,
It gives us time to fix the issues that need to be fixed, like we get off the bank.
You can still vote on it today. We have to get LaRue to amend her motion to make it become effective on, say, April the 1st, or any date that...
Any date.
I think
that is an issue to be.
Are there any other issues that we have?
In old news, you mentioned
we were
because of procedural places meetings taking place, we have to immediately stop the meeting.
Well, that's actually where I was going with that.
So that's a whole different.
We were going to adjourn and then reconvene.
Yeah, we would have
to take care of that, which is what.
We have the issue of
Well, it gets worse.
Yeah.
Just move to the
first. That was just one example. There's probably some other stuff in there that just slipped my mind.
Honestly,
in order to make them effective at any other date than immediately, we would actually have to have it as part of the document.
When it's voted on, you set that.
Yeah, you can set that by the minute.
Yeah, you set that based on the minutes of when it was adopted. Yeah, I mean, if your motion is closed when they go effective.
Okay.
No problem. But it really takes the person that made the motion to amend it on the motion.
Yeah. That's my point, is that last meeting we made the motion to.
Yeah, he would have to amend.
We made the motion to have the vote and make them effective immediately. So in order to have them effective at any other time, whoever actually made that motion would have to retract it.
I think that was the word.
Have a new motion.
To the end.
Okay,
so I make a motion that we approve that we vote on the bylaws today, with them becoming effective if passed on April 1st.
Okay, we good with that?
Second, man.
And a second, but it's
going to make a fool out of all of us on April
1st.
I have to pick it up from
Doug. Okay, all in favor of that motion and the vote today? Okay, any opposed? This is good. All right, that being said, are we prepared with ballots and such as that?
Can we come up with something? You want to do a ballot or you want to do a hand?
Let's just do a hand.
Do you want to do it by hand?
Yeah.
By hand.
Is anybody opposed to a hand vote? That's the easy way to do it.
Yeah. Everybody good with that?
Yep.
Great. That'll make it even quicker and easier. All right. We have a motion to adopt.
I would like to say, Joe, if it's close with hands,
As long as we can't decipher it just by visual.
Okay, how many members we got here today?
Okay, it is important that the bylaws be voted on by members only. So if you're not on the current roster as a paid up member, you really can't vote on this. So, of all of those people, just make sure that if you raise your hand to vote on it, that you are a paid member, whether you're voting for or against.
We've got two members on the roster. Here today. Now, is that for?
Oh, yes. That is a current for. All right. So the motion is to adopt the by the committee to be effective April 1st. All in favor? And any opposed? And there it is.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Get the final?
Yes. Yeah, we will. Now that is done, we'll be able to. We can now print a copy. Make sure everybody has got their email address, because he can email it out to you. And it won't have draft written on it now. It'll be the current and operating set.
It's 16 pages long, so make sure you got a lot of ink.
All right. Any other old business? Anybody think of any other new business now? Yes, sir, Mr. Mason.
I'd like to make a motion. It's been nice and it's been fun to be here, but we're getting a little bit too big for this hospital cafeteria, that we start looking for another place possibly, because we are outgrowing our current.
If anybody has any suggestions on that, I've been thinking about that, but I can't think of any place that is centrally located enough that might offer what this does. Yes, sir.
Steve, I brought it up about 3, 4, 5 months ago. The Central Christian Church right up here, just about 2 blocks away. We've got a big area there that's called Community Center. We've got a lot of tables, a lot of chairs, a full kitchen, and I've asked several times why we don't do that, because you can't hear back here when there's
absolutely
injury. And Greg had brought it up. I wouldn't say anywhere about it, but it's still available. I talked to the board of the church. I'm on the property chairman, so I can
right.
assure you that if we want to have it there on Saturday morning, same time, first Saturday of the month, it'll be open.
That
what do you need to do
great,
to get that done? I don't know. But
yeah.
I understand.
Well, basically, all we have to do is vote that that's where we want to have meetings.
Somebody wants to go look at it first,
but,
or whatever.
But we don't, you know, yeah, exactly. I would not feel good about calling for a vote until people have had a chance to see what the facility is, and I'm assuming that you're not willing to cook breakfast for us, right? So that may be a factor in it also.
I'll probably make coffee.
See,
I got no problem with Bob's offer. It's just if we've been meeting here.
Change is good,
would
David.
Would we almost have a guarantee that we could nest there for another
for years? Yeah, there's no. When I asked about this, I brought it up to the committee. I had the church secretary to look, and we still. I don't know if we ever have a meeting on the first Saturday of the month. We've got another place at the church that we meet if we have smaller groups. So if there was a conflict, usually for smaller groups, they meet in the main building. And this one here says, then it's big enough to play basketball in, so it's big enough room.
Hey.
Cool.
So I got a key to the place.
Very good suggestion.
And if anybody wants to go over there after, we can take a stroll, or we can set up an apartment or whatever they want to do.
Well, we have talked it over in board meetings.
I mean, I don't mind meetings here, but like I said, we're just getting
really
too big for
this facility. This facility has been great, but it's not private to us. We a lot of times have to compete with the television and everything else. We don't have a sound system, so people in the back can't always hear everything going on. I think having another place would really
got a flag and a
service. It has a real flag.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you go. If it's got a microphone, it's a real flag.
I'll make a motion. We move.
Also, now, the Atlanta Club had a pancake breakfast where they raised a bunch of money because they had a kitchen at the airport lounge.
There you go.
A successful operation.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, that was a
and Roger back here, and they can vouch for that. That's
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a big kitchen. That's where we serve that every Christmas. We serve the homeless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We serve, I don't know how many there, but you have the pull-up kitchen, and of course they normally cater in the turkey, but we used to cook them.
Right.
We got
I think that'd be a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
It was made for this kind of thing.
Anybody have any opposition to a place like this?
Yeah, but you answered the question. I'm afraid you didn't ask it. Any cost associated with this?
Nothing.
Is there any cost associated with it?
No.
David's going to want to know that.
Uh,
That was my next question.
Come out of your pocket.
We have to our normal meetings. Our normal meetings, we used to meet at Grant's. It got so loud in Grandy's we couldn't meet.
Right.
The airport was real convenient to us, so we still meet at Grandy's and have breakfast. And then we'll adjourn.
And then move to there.
I don't know if there's any place nearby that would fit for you guys and what you're talking about here.
Well, and I don't know how terribly important it is that we have a breakfast, before our meeting anyway. I mean, there's lots of restaurants around town that we can all decide to meet, without having to make it an actual So, general consensus, do we need to take some time to think about that? Do we want to possibly look at the possibility of actually having next month's meeting there, or
yes, sir.
So, what do you want to do?
I think we need to go look at it and bring back next month.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good idea to look at that facility and see how accessible it is for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it actually will probably be easier than here.
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
And you probably won't have to walk a whole block to get in the building.
You got wheelchair facilities.
Oh, yeah, it's a
handicap bus.
What about parking?
Plenty of parking.
Well, you see that
ample parking.
Yeah. And this hospital's parking lot is on the back. So I want to see
that place and see things right now.
All right. We'll just keep it for consideration.
Going to table this.
And we may actually call for a vote next meeting on that. So it'll be old business next
okay.
But I do appreciate your checking into that and making those arrangements, because that would be, I feel like it'd be a big asset.
I think it'd be
a lot better than what we're doing now.
That's
really good.
Second that,
amen. All right. Any other new business?
Make a motion that we close.
I want to.
Before we close, could I just comment?
Yes.
I got a telephone call last evening from Jeannie Brown. You all remember Terry?
Yes.
Jean has offered this club a fifth wheel trailer. Needs some work done on it. To be set up as an emergency command post, I think, for installation of radios. That was one of Terry's desires. She's offered that now. It's located down at Queen City. If anybody wants to see it, if the club wants to tackle such a project, contact her. She'll take you down there or meet with you down there and show you what we're looking at. I didn't ask her that because I don't have any.
We'll put together a delegation of folks to go look at it, see how viable it is, and then we'll bring it back to the membership. Whenever it was brought to my attention, my way of thinking on it is that would be certainly wonderful to do if we could remodel this thing and make a communication center out of it. That'd be really a neat thing for our club and for our presence in the community if we on different events. But by the same token, we've also got to understand that if we own such a piece of equipment, that it's going to cause some expense to the club for that remodeling, and then an ongoing expense for titling and insurance for that vehicle.
We've got to find a place to store it where it will
not deteriorate. So there's going to be several factors that we need to figure in on owning such a thing. So we need to go look at it and see what shape it's in now and such as that. So probably not something we want to call for a vote on immediately.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
One thing, Steve. I brought some handouts. They're
for y'all.
Yes.
The 9-8 and the 8-4 repeaters in Cass County, anybody that can get into that, welcome to use.
What he's talking about is these pieces here. Y'all want to pick them up before you leave? Gives all the parameters on how to program your radio for that repeater so that you can utilize it. And then also, before we adjourn, Carl Nyman has got a couple of pretty little pieces of equipment here. He wants to. I'm gonna call on him to show them off, just for a little show and tell thing.
This will be real quick because I know some of you guys are ready to have your committee meeting. But if you don't know, I like to do CW, and I like to build some of my own little rigs. I've been doing it ever since I've been a ham for about 38 years. But in the QST magazine, I think if you looked at several years ago, they had what they called a rock mic. And that's a little QRP rig. It's CW, and it's a half a watt. And I finally saw this little company up in Maine called QRP that sells these things. And I said, well, I just, instead of trying to build it myself, I'll order the kit. And the kit is just the board. It's not the box. It is a half a watt. Okay, I put it together. I got it all together yesterday. I operated a little bit when it wasn't in the box. I made 3 contacts, and I made 2 more contacts after it got in the box. So, shortest contact was to Georgia. Longest contact with a half a watt was Oregon. Like I say, it's one frequency. You don't have to change any dials. You turn it on. You don't really even need a volume control, okay, because that doesn't work very well. It's 20 meters, and so you can get them from 80 to 10 meters, okay? You can get all out of there. It's only one frequency. It does have a microprocessor in it, so if you use a paddle, you have an automatic gear in there. It'll shift frequencies, so you actually have 2 frequencies, but they're only 700 hertz apart. It has 1 crystal they use for an oscillator for your transmitter, and the other crystal is just a filter system for your receiver. It's got a direct conversion receiver in it. It's really good. You can hear everything on the entire band. you just have to figure out which one is in your frequency range. But it's a lot of fun. It was fun to build, and it's a lot of fun to operate. Just kind of stick your earphones on and listen to somebody comes on the air, and you pounce on it. This is something I've been working on a long time. It's a digital synthesized VFO. In other words, it's something I use. I built it to replace crystals when I start doing all these little rigs and things like that. It's also a VFO if I build transmitters and receivers, and I'm planning on actually using a transceiver. This was a kit. It didn't come in a box. I made the box. To make the box, I had to make the metal break to make the box, but I got the box made. This goes from 0 hertz to 40 million or hertz or 40 megahertz. Okay, so you can use it whether it be for direct conversion receivers, direct, for these old Heath kit transmitters and things that use crystals. You can use it as crystal replacement. It also has capabilities that if you have a IF in it, IF intermediate frequency, you can change that frequency but still read the frequency that you're actually on, okay? And then you can it'll actually shift between transmit and receive, so you can get a direct transmit frequency. Rig, you can use this, as a replacement for a crystal. Also, they sell these same things. If you got Heath kit rigs or old Tintec rigs, if you want to update the VFO, you can update it to a direct digital synthesized VFO and eliminate the old VFO. So, just thought I'd throw it out here.
You use it with that.
You can use it with this.
Yeah.
You sure can. You know, if you're interested in any of this stuff, let me know. If you like to build kits, you know, give me a call. I like to build them too.
Does it drip, or you got to move it up after?
This doesn't drip at all. This
Billy
has
a flare.
You need to know. This doesn't drip. This doesn't drip at all. It may move. It may move two or three cycles in 15, 20 minutes to an hour, but after that, it doesn't move at all.
There you go, Byron.
We can put it in his radio, that's for sure. So, like I say, they do make kits to go in Tintex and the old Heath kits and some of the Kentwoods. So they're about $150 if you want to upgrade your Francie. But there are kits for those. This right here with the boards is about $75, $80. If you're really ambitious, you can buy the digital synthesized board, from China for about $15. And they got Arduro, which is a programmable controller that you can buy for about $40, and you can mate them together and make this yourself. So, it depends on how ambitious you are. I just don't like things from China too much. I just don't trust them yet. Anyway.
All right.
If you like to build stuff, let me know.
Oh, we appreciate you being here.
Oh, yeah.
We're all here because we have an interest in radios and gadgets and things like this. It's, I think it's just really kind of neat sometimes when we have the little show and tells like that, when people do something a little out of the box and might spark some interest of other members to see and hear about it. Appreciate that, Carl. Okay, if no other business.
Do we talk about band? The band?
Do you want to? Yeah, we could. Really should have come in new business, but yeah, we can back up and bring it up.
My idea was to have a second banner like we have now that says 4 State Games Ready Plus. We have, for the first time, I think, we've actually got two events going on at the same time. The bike race and I would like to. Okay. So I think I'd like to see us have two banners so we could both ideas on both ends. My idea on this one is to have it double faced. It'll be the same size, 2 foot by 8. It'll be a double faced banner. So we can actually use it as a hand fence and put it out on the road so traffic can see it from both directions over where to turn. So, and then we could use it as kind of robbing off of the lane, the bike counts too. I checked the Ideal Awning, which is the same place that we did the main banner before. I've already contacted him. He's already got all that stuff. But it's $198 for a double face. Jason led me onto a site, and I've already kind of started looking and designing. We can get a double face for $72. Same size, 2x8. So we've saved over $100 so far.
Mm-hmm. The power of the internet.
Yeah, the power of the internet.
But how much is that?
It's on the website.
You have to order it?
Yeah, you design it for it.
Takes a couple of days.
Do we?
Yeah. We actually probably do need to bring that to a vote and everything because we need the lead time to have it made in order for it to be available for that day that we have two events. So,
Arthur, I got a question about that. When you say double faced, you're always talking about riding on both sides. Now, is there going to be something in between the two sides so if the sun is behind it, it won't be bleeding through to the other side? With the lettering that's on the both side facing the sun.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying?
The standard material work. This is vinyl, so I don't think it bleed through.
You probably wouldn't have anything in the center, but most of those that are double faced like that, they use a thicker vinyl
so that it doesn't.
Our search and rescue team has a banner from that company. I haven't paid attention to it to see if it bleeds through or not, to be honest.
I'm looking at David because he.
I don't think it would bleed too. It's pretty thick now.
It's fairly thick.
But then it's a question you can
I'll
ask.
I'll tell you, I don't know. But it is a huge savings by comparison.
I got our one sided banner out there in the truck. Out there in the van if you want to look at it.
Of course, they wouldn't be from the same company and everything, so
no,
we would really not be able to.
I'd make a motion that we allow offer up to $100. That gives some leeway. That'll set it at 72, just up to 100. That he'd be allowed to send for a banner.
Have a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay.
You
vote for it? I thought you had another comment. All in favor of spending up to $100 for the banner? Thank you.
Any chance of getting it in before the ham fest?
Oh, absolutely. Well, in fact, we're trying to get it
April 11th.
For the Scout Rollins. Which is way ahead. Yeah. All right. If there's no further, I need a motion for adjournment. Mr. Bailey, seconded by LaRue, all in favor, we're out of here. Anybody that wants to talk about the ham fest, meet over here. Everybody remember the information about how to get into the letter repeater.
Make a break.
I don't know.